So the epistle for the fourth Sunday in Advent is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Brethren, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the dispensers of the mysteries of God. Here now it is required among the dispensers that a man be found faithful, but to me it is a very small thing to be judged by you or by man's day, but neither do I judge my own self. For I am not conscious to myself of anything, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge not before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise from God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and Philip his brother tetrarch of Iturea, in the country of Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene, under the high priest Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zachary, in the desert. And he came into all the country about the Jordan, preaching the baptism of penance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the sayings of Isaiah the prophet. A voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways plain, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Please be seated. So come, O Lord, and do not delay. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As these words say, we want our Lord to come. And that is what we are trying to prepare for in this fourth Sunday of Advent. We realize that our Lord is nigh. Our Lord is coming. And so therefore, we anxiously await our Lord's coming, coming into our souls. And so obviously, the question comes any time that we have these long seasons of preparation. You know, are we prepared for that? You know, how well have we prepared during this time period? Or in a sense, has it gone by too quickly? You know, has it gone by too quickly for us? And I think the gradual gives us an answer to that. The gradual tells us, come, O Lord, and do not delay. But yet it continues on and it says, forgive the sins of thy people, Israel. And so with that, in these some ways, it contains both the thoughts of being ready and yet realizing that we may not be. But maybe we haven't taken the time as wisely as we should have. And throughout this time period of Advent, St. John the Baptist, the precursor, he is a figure that is very prominent. Very prominent, why? Because obviously, St. John prepared the way for our Lord for the first time, obviously. When our Lord was coming, that was the job of the precursor, to make straight the path. And so St. John, we see our Lord talking about St. John in the previous Sundays, a mentioning about how holy St. John was. I sent an angel before your face. And then our Lord asked the questions, you know, what did you go out to the desert to see? A reed shaken in the wind, one clothed in soft garments. And to all of that, we see the example of St. John. He was one that was not clothed in soft garments. Our Lord even says that you will find in the house of the kings. We can say a slap to those in authority at that time. And then also, was he a reed shaken in the wind? Was St. John a weak individual? Absolutely not. He was not weak. And then yet, our Lord tells us that I sent an angel to you. I sent an angel before your face to announce that my time was come, that the kingdom of God was at hand. And then we have the famous thing of when they asked St. John, well, then basically, who are you? If you're not the Christ, if you're not the prophet, if you're not Elias, then basically, who are you? You know, what did you come for? And that is a famous saying of St. John where he says, I am the voice crying out in the wilderness. And looking at that and trying to understand what does that exactly mean to us? One, if you've ever been out in the wilderness and you've tried to cry out, no one will hear you. Especially if you're alone, if you're one voice crying out in the wilderness, no one will hear you. And so from that, there is that message that is given to us by St. John. I am one that is crying out that yet no one will hear. No one will hear and no one will understand what I have to say. What is the message? And then also from that, this crying out in the wilderness, many of the spiritual authors have said that the wilderness signifies those that are sinful, sinners of the world, all of us, that we make up this area, this wilderness, and we need this voice that is crying out to us. We need to have this voice telling us that the kingdom of God is at hand, that we need to repent. We need to repent because our Lord is coming. Our Lord is nigh. So this wilderness, it is land that is not cultivated where no seed can produce fruit. And why? Because we have not listened to the word of God. And so therefore, this voice that cries out to us, it is crying out with the word of God. It cries out to us to listen to the message of our Lord. And so again, spiritual authors have taken this opportunity to examine this voice that is given to us and the ones that either hear or do not hear. And it is composed of four voices. Voices in order to help us to understand and to hear. And so the first is a voice of God's favors. We can say that God uses this in order to try to help the sinner to overcome their sins. And so he gives us favors. He gives us graces to help us in this path in order to try to win us over, to win us back to his grace. And so with this first voice, it is one that we must have gratitude toward. Gratitude and thanksgiving because God is taking the time to try to give us these graces, to try to help us in order to be on the right path, this path that needs to be straight. And so we can say that this first voice, we must not forget our benefactor, which is Almighty God. We must not forget what God has done for us. But seeing that not always this first voice will we hear or act upon, God will send another voice to us. God brings to us another voice to our ears to help us to understand and to listen. And granted, we can think back to one of the parables that our Lord mentions about those that have ears, let them hear. And so this voice is a voice of preaching. Because it will try to force then the sinner to convert. Because when we hear things, when things are presented to us, it possibly could make a difference to us. It can possibly help us then in listening then to the word of God. So as I say, if this first voice of the favors of God does not do the trick for us, God will send then another voice, a voice of preaching to us, to help us to listen to his word, to make a difference in our lives. As our Lord said, he that heareth you, heareth me. It is meant to wake us from our sleep, to help us then in preparing ourselves. But then, again, the spiritual authors will bring out and saying, if the soul is in a deep sleep, then we have to have something greater from that. Something greater from that to try to wake us out of our doldrums. of sleeping and going through the way of our life, just day in and day out, without realizing the possible danger that our soul is in. And so God again tries to bring this to a soul. God again will send this in order to try to help and wake up, in this sense, a soul. So he sends the voice of punishment. This is something that should be easy for us to recognize. We have seen the natural disasters that take place in the world, whether it's a tsunami, whether it's a hurricane. God sends these things in order to wake up souls. And what normally happens, souls are awoken for a few minutes, a few days. And then soon after that, they're back into their same ways. And so it may correct some souls for a time being. It may help some souls. But then yet, soon after that, what happens? We get back into our normal routine. We no longer listen to this word of God. We no longer hear this voice that is calling us, reminding us. And so some souls, yes, they will convert. They will recognize this voice, they will convert, and they will change their lives. And sometimes it does. It takes for us maybe a natural disaster before we even wake up, before we even recognize that point of how we are living our lives. But then still, even with that, some do not wake up. Some do not see the need to repent for their sins. Some continue on in living the same life that they have always lived. These things around them can happen, and it really makes no difference for them. And as I say, we have seen that out in the world. How some people, after a natural disaster, will go immediately, they will find their faith again, they will go to church, and then soon after that, nothing else has happened, so they go back into their same lifestyle. So they may have woken for a few minutes, and that's about it. But there is not a true conversion, a true repentance for the sins that they have. Yet, even though we have turned a deaf ear to these three voices, God sends another one. God will send another one in order to still to try to help souls wake up, to get them to wake up and to see what they are doing with their lives. So we can say there is no hope for them unless they listen to this last voice. It is the most powerful voice. It is the interior voice. We can say this is the voice of thunder. The voice of thunder that can be heard even by those deaf ears that have totally missed out on voices 1 through 3. They will hear this voice. But then yet, it is still up to them whether they accept it or not. God can obviously penetrate into any hardness of heart. But there still has to be something for us to accept that when God calls to us. When God brings the voice out to us, it still has to be coming from us to accept that grace from God. Otherwise, there is no free will, because God, yes, he could change any soul that he wants at any moment of their lives. But there has to be that free will of accepting then to hear this voice of God. We can say this voice of thunder. St. Bernard of Clairvaux said that this voice is a penetrating one because it draws souls near it. It brings souls to it. Maybe even souls that at first they are not willing to give up the way of their life, but they are still drawn to that because it is such a penetrating voice to them. A voice that penetrates interiorly, not just the exterior. Because with the exterior, any of us can try to fool anyone. Any of us can play the good Catholic, and yet interiorly we are not. And so that is where then this voice penetrates deeply into our soul. Examples of this, we can say, St. Mary Magdalene, because of the horrible life she had led. And she was immediately converted by the grace of God. She gave up everything at that point. And then also from that we see St. Paul. This voice was enough to knock him off his horse. I mean, in some ways, probably some of us, we need to be knocked off our horse. Because we continue to live the life that we live, refusing the graces of God. Maybe anticipating that we'll have a deathbed conversion, but we cannot take that chance with our soul. We know not the day nor the hour. So from that, we can say, what does this voice demand from us? That we prepare our way for the Messiah. Yes, the Messiah came over 2,000 years ago, physically into this world, but he comes every Christmas spiritually into our soul. And are we taking advantage of these graces from God, or are we not? Do we accept these graces from God? And that is what this voice is meant to do, to prepare us for the coming of the Messiah, for the Savior to come. The Savior that is to redeem us. And so this last voice, this is, as it says, the last hope. Because if a voice does not finally hear this interior voice, nothing will help them. And why are they hopeless? They are hopeless because they have chosen that path. Because God, as we see, God continues to try to send voices to us to help us. But as our Lord said, let them that have ears, let them hear. It is up to us whether we want to hear or not. And so our Lord wishes to come to us. He wishes to have our soul as an abode, as a home to him. But then the question becomes, will he find it the same way that he came when he came 2,000 years ago? There is no vacancy. There is no place. There is no place for our Lord in our soul because it is cluttered with the things of this world. It is cluttered with our sins. And so we have basically 5 days. 5 days to prepare for the coming of our Lord, to heed this voice, to heed the voice that is calling out to us, this voice that is crying out in the wilderness. And as I say, it is a very good analogy to us. Because I'm sure at that time St. John felt that he was crying out and no one was listening to him. What did we see a few Sundays ago where he even said his own rejected him? He came and his own rejected him. We read that in the Gospel of St. John. And he came unto his own and they would have nothing to do with him. And so God forbid if that is the same way for us. If that God comes to us and we reject him. We reject him when we have no room. We reject him because we are too caught up with this world. We reject him when our soul is stained with sin. And so our Lord comes in 5 days. Will our Lord have a proper place in our soul? That is up to us. Because God has called out. God has continued to call out to our souls. And what do? A lot of times we turn a deaf ear to him. And so from that, we must pray for these graces. We see in this Mass that it talks about letting the earth be opened and bud forth the Savior. The Savior came to us, and now is it up to us to accept him or not? So as I say, pray for these graces. Pray to St. John, the precursor, to prepare your soul, to maybe make it straight if it is crooked. Pray obviously to the Blessed Virgin Mary, who brought forth this Savior to us, this Redeemer. And let us pray in this Mass, come, O Lord, and do not delay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you.